Turn with me, if you will, find in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel. And if that's a challenge, never be ashamed to look in the table of contents. Ezekiel chapter 2. I got to thinking and praying about this text in this past week. I've always been drawn to and intrigued by and my soul nourished by the stories of the call of the various prophets of God. Not all of the prophets do this, but a number of the prophets tell us about their experience of call and how they knew that they were called into this prophetic work. You know, remember Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw a vision. I saw the Lord high, lifted up and seated upon a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And then it's this awesome vision. And Ezekiel also sees a vision that, and then God speaks to him to anoint him, to set him apart for this prophetic work to which he's called. Ezekiel carries out his prophetic ministry far from Jerusalem. He is a prophet of the exilic period. This is a time when a great chunk, not 100%, but a good chunk of the population of Judah, of Jerusalem, had been carted off to exile in Babylon, and particularly anybody that had any kind of education like Ezekiel did. He had been in training to be a priest. And so he was carted off in the exile, and that's when he gets this vision. Now, more about that in a minute. And I'm actually not going to read all of the vision. It starts in chapter 1, but I'm going to start reading with chapter 2 of Ezekiel, and I'm going to read all of chapter 2 and then the first verse of chapter 3. Hear now the word of God. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, and whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back, and there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he said to me, Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go. Speak to the house of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, if I had read chapter 1, it would have told you the place and the time of Ezekiel's, the beginning of Ezekiel's prophetic ministry. He begins in chapter 1 by saying he was among the exiles by the Kabar Canal. That's in Babylon. Some of your translations may say the Kabar River, but it was actually a canal, man-made. I was in Babylon, he says, sitting by the Kabar Canal, and I was in my 30th year. Now, that's important. He's 30 years old. We know about Ezekiel that he had been training to be a priest. And a priest was somebody who served in the temple in Jerusalem. And it took years of preparation to become a priest. And you usually, in most cases, you graduated from priestly seminary in your 30th year. You were 30 years old, and you began your service in the temple. But now the temple lies in ruins. It's been destroyed by the Babylonians, 587 BC. And not only has the temple been destroyed, Ezekiel has been carted off hundreds and hundreds of miles away to Babylon, where he's sitting by the Kabar Canal, and as Bob Dylan might say, just watching the river flow. And now I don't know. I'm not 100% sure what's in Ezekiel's mind, but I have an idea. And this is the question that all Israel was asking, all the Hebrew people were asking in Babylon, how can we serve the Lord here? He spent his whole life preparing to be a priest in the temple. And now he's hundreds of miles away, sitting by a Babylonian canal, wondering where his life went. And so as I contemplated this text and just tried to think into Ezekiel's thoughts, I know what he's thinking. You know, how do we do ministry without the temple? It was such a nice building. And it had a built-in coffee maker. And it had a great nursery. And it had Sunday school rooms. And now, where are we? We're, you know, watching this canal go by. I can stand, by the way, I can stand right here and watch the pond out there. It's frozen. But it's right out there. And suddenly, and this isn't this God's way, God had a purpose for Ezekiel, and he had a purpose for his people in Babylon. And suddenly, Ezekiel is interrupted by a vision of God, and it's one of the most remarkable visions in all the Bible. And if you've never read chapter 1 of Ezekiel, and by the way, it's apocalyptic literature, the wild images. And by the way, our men's Bible study just finished up doing the book of Revelation, and I think the guys were relieved to be beyond, to get out of all those wild. And we just started the Gospel of Matthew. So guys, Thursday morning at the Ministry Center, 8 a.m., you're invited. Come join us. You get a donut and coffee and the Word of God. It's a great time, great fellowship. We just started the Gospel of Matthew. But anyway, the first chapter of Ezekiel is this apocalyptic vision of, and it's this awesome vision of God himself seated upon a throne. But the wild thing about the vision, he sees these wheels, a wheel within the wheel. If you've never read the text, you may have heard the song. Remember, Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the air. And there's four wheels, and by each wheel is a mighty angel. And the angels have, between the angels, there's like this glowing glass and rainbow-colored sheet, and upon that a throne upon which the Lord himself is seated. It's a vision of God, much like what Isaiah saw in his vision. And Ezekiel says, when I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. And that's the first thing I want to kind of underline for us to learn in this vision of, that Ezekiel shares with us, is that it's a vision of the greatness and the glory of God. That's where ministry begins, with a great vision of the greatness and the glory of God. Not with a vision of our greatness and how wonderful and gifted and talented we are. And by the way, this is a gifted and talented congregation. You're all in the gifted and talented class. I'm serious about that. God has brought together a really gifted and loving and so much Christian maturity out here. As I look out across this room, it gives a preacher, it gives me a little bit of trepidation anyway, to preach to you every week, because there's a lot of spiritual maturity out here, and we're gifted. But that's not where ministry begins. Isaiah's prophetic ministry begins with a vision of the greatness and the glory of God, and he fell on his face. God, you're too much. I can't take it in. And God spoke to him. Isn't that great? This great, grand, and glorious God speaks to him. This vision filled the whole sky. We need a fresh vision of God, Christ Presbyterian Church, filling our vision. The greatness and the grandeur and the glory of God. The world brainwashes us into glorifying things that have no value and will not endure and have no glory about them whatsoever. Turn off the TV. What the world glorifies ultimately has no value. We need a fresh vision. If we are to go where God is leading us, and by the way, I'm not 100% sure where that is. We take one step at a time. I mean, it's like Abraham and Sarah going to the promised land, and God says, just leave, go to the land that I will show you. And they said, what land? God said, the one I'll show you. Go. Ezekiel saw a vision of the grandeur and glory of God. He's in Babylon by the Kabar Canal. He thinks the glory of God is hundreds of miles away in Jerusalem. But did you notice something about that throne of God? It's on wheels. It moves. The temple doesn't move. Jerusalem can't move. God's on wheels. And part of what this vision is saying to Ezekiel, I'm not just sovereign. My reign and my glory is not just back in a pile of rubble in Jerusalem. My throne is right here in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't ultimately reign here. He pretends. I reign here. And over all creation. Now, it's you know where I was going a minute ago. I didn't need to spell it out for you about, you know, longing for a more settled home and the gifts that go with it. And I want to ask you to do something right now, just a little mental exercise. Think back to a time in your life, and maybe it's right now, But think, is there a time in your past when it seemed like all the ducks were in a row and everything was settled? And you had a great home. Maybe it was your dream home. And you had all your family there. And you had the great job, the dream job. And that was a wonderful place. And you're not there anymore. You know what, dear brothers and sisters? The throne of God is on wheels. He's not nailed down, and neither are you. And wherever life has taken you, it's not by accident, but by His sovereign will. Ezekiel is not in Babylon by accident. Remember what God said to him? By the way, repetition is biblical underlining. How many times did God refer to His people as this rebellious house? That's why they're in exile. And God says to Ezekiel, I need somebody right now in this place who's going to tell it to them straight because they're a rebellious house. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be cowed by them. Tell them the truth. As I thought about this text this week and mused about that, I was remembering Harry Truman, who used to be known as Give 'em Hell Harry. And he was once asked about that, and you may know this quote, but he was asked about that. And he said, I don't give people hell. He said, I just tell the truth and they think it's hell. And then God gave Ezekiel something incredibly precious. He gave him a commission. Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious house that has rebelled against me. Now, Christ Presbyterian Church, God has commissioned you, God has commissioned us together and given us a call. Later on today, we're going to be talking about the possibility of purchasing a building. And right now, that's just a possibility. We don't even know. But we believe the Spirit, our leadership believes the Spirit of God is saying, step into this, check it out, find out. Before we ever get there to that point, I believe that the Spirit says to us, that God's Word says to us, what we need first is a great and glorious vision of a great and glorious God, who will provide everything that we need, who has commissioned us for this ministry. You know what? And if we don't have that vision, we could have the nicest building in town and be dead as a post and be ineffective for God's kingdom. Let's seek this vision together. Pray into it. Pray, God, give us a fresh vision of who You are and what You've called us to be and do to share the love of Jesus Christ in this valley. I'm just glad to be, I am so thankful to be on this adventure with you. Let's pray. Lord, send Your Holy Spirit, and just as You gave a fresh vision to Ezekiel, who was so far from what he thought was home, Lord, give us a fresh vision that You reign and are sovereign in every place. There is not one square inch of this universe where You don't stake Your claim and say, mine. So, Lord, we trust to You the provision of a place to do worship and ministry. We thank You for this place. Lord, lead by Your Spirit, but most of all, Lord, fill us up with Yourself, with the power of Your Holy Spirit, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.